Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's a Friday here on Felger and Mas. Friday, April 17th. Felger coming to you from the A-hole chair here at our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Mas and Murray on remote. Mas, how you doing?
Good, you?
James?
Radiant and sunny.
There you go. Fresh as lettuce. That's what we like to hear. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now. Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. Everything from the week we have gotten to or have yet to get to. That's it. The agenda is set by your wonderful phone calls. While we disinfect the hounds and wipe them down, we go opening takes, and then as soon as you're ready, we go to you. So the number it will be 617-779-0985. In the meantime, Maz, Murray, who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Murray.
All right, so we never got to it yesterday, but as we wrapped up on Wednesday, we were all speculating on what NFL insider Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, his big breaking news was going to be, because he teased it incessantly for like 48 hours leading up to 11 o'clock that night. That's when he was going to break that big breaking news. Is it going to be an owner stepping down? Was it going to be something about the Patriots and how they were taping the Bengals sideline and something relating to a punishment, maybe for the team or Belichick? Is Gronk going to come out of retirement? No. Turned out the big breaking news was that the center on the LA Rams has the coronavirus. That was the big breaking news. And he rightfully took a beating all day yesterday, and still is continuing to on Twitter. Because the whole, it's so tone deaf, it's so stupid. And I've liked Jay Glazer, and I still do for the most part. But this, like, people are starved for content that can take their minds off this godforsaken bug and this terrible situation, especially sports fans who thought they were going to get some, you know, a real juicy nugget, you know, about the NFL and something going on in the NFL. And this guy has the balls to actually use a player's positive coronavirus as a ratings grab, because that's what it was, and clicks. So I just thought it was a snake move. I don't think anyone wants to hear any more of this unless they have to. And now I hope his reputation does take a hit here, because hyping that kind of thing up and getting people hopeful for something fun and juicy, like a good juicy NFL nugget, and that's what you come out with, It's a dick move.
So it was a mistake. I think it was a mistake for him to play it the way he did. I'm still a big fan. I still think he's as good as it gets. But I think he probably wants that one back. But, you know, I'm not going to bury the guy. We're all entitled to a bad day. We're all entitled to make mistakes, and I think he made one. I think that's something he would not do again, and I would think he would recognize that. But be that as it may, boy, that was a letdown. Oh, boy.
Oh, enormous.
Oh, God, killing me, Glaze. Killing me. Maz, what do you got?
Okay, so quickly on Major League Baseball, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, was on a show with his brother a couple of nights ago, actually, and we didn't get to this yesterday either. And he was talking about, he was asked by his brother Chris on CNN, who works for CNN, as most people know, and was asked about the possibility of sports returning, specifically baseball. Here's how the exchange went.
On sports, look, I talked to Jeff Wilpon today, the owner of the Mets. I said, why can't we talk about a baseball season with nobody in the stands? Why can't you play the game with the players? And it's something that I'm going to pursue. Apparently, Major League Baseball would have to make a deal with the players, because if you have no one in the stands, then the numbers are going to change, right? The economics are going to change. But if Major League Baseball and the players could make come to an agreement on how to adjust the economics, I think that would be a good thing. You know, we have to start to move to normalcy, and people have to start to see some hope and light.
Okay, so now look, I think this is encouraging news on some level, and I have a few smaller points on this, but just bear with me. Number one, I'm happy to hear him say that. I think we all feel that way, that it would benefit everybody to get back onto the field, play the games, give us all some sort of diversion, give us some sense of normalcy. That's number one. Number two, and I heard Zolak and Bertrand talking about this today, and I think it needs to be amplified. If there is any issue about a deal right now, in other words, if the owners and the players, and again, Jeff Wilpon, owner of the Mets, apparently spoke with Cuomo, who told us as such, if there's any issue there, oh boy, Major League players better be careful here. Now, I'm not going to accuse them of something they haven't done yet, but they need to be very, very careful here, because if they serve as some sort of obstacle to the games returning to the field because they won't take a pay cut, that is really going to look bad when unemployment numbers have jumped over 22 million in the last month. We all saw the latest numbers at the beginning of this week. So players need to be careful. However, I will also add this. And I'm not holding Cuomo responsible, because he's just the conduit. And in fact, he's on a show with his brother, should give you further indication that maybe this was some sort of platform. If Jeff Wilpon, the owner of the Mets, and the Mets ownership has a terrible reputation throughout the game, if this was their way to leverage the players by getting it out there, ooh, what a weasel move. What a complete dink move. If you're going to negotiate with the players, negotiate with the players. Don't go out and start taking pot shots publicly in the middle of a pandemic. That, if that's what they're up to, that is a dink move.
Okay, Maz's opening thought. My opening thought will just be to set up what we got coming up on the big board today. We're going to do running backs and special teams. We'll do two position groups, and I put the two positions together because they happen to be the two most useless positions on the draft board in the sport of football. That's right. I put the running back right next to the gunners and the kickers, and that's where they belong. That's going to tie into some thoughts I had from this week on the Christian McCaffrey contract and basically my running back thing, which many of you have heard before, but I shall revisit because it's agenda-free, and which means we just sort of scratch our itches and air our agendas. And one of my agenda is the running back position and the futility of drafting that position high or paying for it, the stupidity of drafting it high or paying for it. So we'll get to that later on in the program, but I promised phones, and so we'll do it. 617-779-0985. My monitor won't turn on, Jimmy, so I don't have the call screen. I have the actual call screen, which just gives me names and cities. I don't have topics, so this is truly agenda-free. I don't know what these people want to talk about. But Nick in Foxborough, you're up first. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, guys. I hope you're doing well. Just wanted to talk about the Patriot kicking situation.
Yeah.
Didn't know if anybody had any thoughts on where that might go, if we might take a look at that beauty from Georgia, Rodrigo Blankenship, or dip into the XFL and grab Mr. 35 PFT comment there. Thanks, I'll hang up.
Okay, so is that a Barstool thing? The Blankenship feels too easy, right? The kid with the goggles at Georgia, you know, that's all we talk about in terms of them drafting a kicker. It's going to be that guy, so it means it's not going to be that guy. It's going to be Harold Fenefesi from Moose Ball State, right? It's going to be someone you never heard of. If they even draft the position, what would you do?
So, to me, I keep asking this. Nick Folk is not under contract, correct?
Correct. He's a free agent.
Okay, so what I would do if I were the Patriots, I would have Nick Folk lined up. I thought that once they got to Folk, and it took a little while last year, that it worked out okay. And as a stopgap measure, I would have him lined up as a replacement. I would go in the draft with my eye on, you know, maybe it's Blankenship, maybe it's someone else. I mean, none of us really had Steven Gostkowski on the radar when he was picked many years ago. So whoever, I would draft a guy, but if they don't get the guy they want, I wouldn't draft a guy just for the sake of drafting a guy, and then I'd go to Folk.
Yeah, Folk was pretty reliable. I'd bring him back for short money, but they should have their eye on the hot rod. That kid's hysterical and good. That's the thing. It's not just because he looks like Poindexter. He is good and probably will get drafted in the fourth round, which is obviously high for a kicker. But if they like him, I wouldn't mind him being here because points are going to be at a premium, I think.
Has he ever kicked in conditions?
And
I, you know, I've asked this before. I'm so stupid, but Georgia plays outside, right? They're between the hedges.
Outside in Athens. I mean, the weather's typically really good there.
So, I mean, I think that's a priority for him. It should be. Adam and Lowell, you're up next. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. Yeah, the Jay Glazer thing was awful. I mean, I haven't been this disappointed since when the NBA season got canceled on Wednesday night, literally 24 hours before the Celtics-Bucks game. Like, the crime he committed is right up there with cooking fish in a shared office microwave. It's that kind of just egregious thing.
It was bad. It was bad. I think it might have gotten away from him a little bit where he just – I mean, I have no idea. Like, I just – He tweeted out the day before, I got something for you tomorrow night. And then, of course, because he's broken such big news and had such big things, everyone starts speculating about this, that, or the other. And then he's got, no, it's not transactional, but it's important, and you don't want to joke about it. And so it's like it was just sort of a confluence of him doing a little bit of teasing and us being so starved that by the time it got to, whatever, Wednesday night at 11, you know, it was prime for a letdown, and it turned out to be a letdown. And then that sort of thing, Murray, where it's like he's using someone's health as the leverage point to generate that that's a bad look.
Yeah, it's a bad look. And you would think a guy that's that seasoned and who, again, is trusted. I just, you know, I think he takes a deserved hit for now. I'm not going to, like, completely bury him and say, like, F him forever. But, you know, the beating he's taken on social media right now, I think it's deserved because he should know better. Like, that could have been handled in just a single tweet, but it just felt like he and maybe the network he's working for is just so thirsty for getting eyes on their product and getting clicks. This is what they ended up doing. And I just think it was a pretty bad look.
I mean, it came off as manipulative in every way.
Right.
Like, it just came off as manipulative in every way, and it's a bad time to be pulling that.
Matt in Medford, you're up next on an Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Matt. Matthew. Okay, babe, you can call us back. How about Corey in Fall River? You're up next. Hi, Corey.
Yeah, this is for Maz. Maz, how do you feel about Joe when he was working on his changeup and he threw a baseball through his window? And my question is, how do you think the Dodgers feel about signing Joe Kelly to all that money?
So again, two separate issues, and the second one's far more important than the first. And for those who haven't seen it, this thing went viral. I don't know if it originated on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Kelly was working on a changeup, and he was throwing into something that I would say was the equivalent or equal to the size of a golf net. If you've ever seen a kind of golf net that someone would have in their backyard, he missed it entirely and threw the ball through a window in his house. Okay, now, I call bull crap. I think the thing was completely, totally staged. Nobody in the major leagues misses a target by that much, not even Joe Kelly. Okay, so I call bull crap on the stunt, but everybody needs content right now, so be it. But the other thing, colossal mistake. We knew it at the time. Again, the Dodgers watched him in the World Series against the Red Sox in 2018, and they actually thought he was like that all the time. They thought he was that good. So they signed him, and they've obviously paid the price, not that they care.
Okay, we are off and running just like that. Agenda Free Friday, everything on the board. You can join us, 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Bill. Thank you very much for taking all this time. Last question is, I know how much self-scouting you guys do in the regular season and on your entire operation. When doing that relative to the draft the last few years, have you seen anything that you're doing that you could do differently to have different results, maybe especially in the second round where you've frequently gone defensive back and it just hasn't panned out that well? So I'm just wondering, is that bad luck? Is it anything related to when you're taking guys? Anything that you can give in terms of enlightening us on that? Thank you.
Yeah, well, we evaluate everything we do and are always trying to, you know, learn from every situation to improve, and we do that. We've done that every year since I've been here. We'll continue to do it, and we'll do the best we can this year, so we'll see how it goes.
Is there anything on that group that's a position you guys have gone back to with Cyrus and Jordan Richards and Duke Dawson and last year Juwan? Is there any philosophy in the second round that you have that says, hey, let's go and try and get some matchup type of corners or a corner or a safety or defensive back who brings something at that point?
Yeah. Well, then you got guys like Matt Light and Jamie Collins and Rob Gronkowski, and, you know, there's plenty of second rounders that, you know, have had pretty good careers here. So we'll see how, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, look, each draft's different. Every year is different. Each player is different. So, you know, I think to sit here and, you know, rehash the 2015 draft or the 2006 draft or whatever it is again, they're fundamentals of the process. And, you know, we always try to improve those. We'll try to do the best job that we can this year in every round.
Okay, everything from the week here on Agenda Free Friday. That was Bill Belichick getting defensive with Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston about his draft record, second round picks specifically there, which have been wretched of late. But really, his first and second round selections have been wretched for about a half decade. I mean, really. And we talked about it yesterday. The Patriots are one of only two teams, the Bengals being the other, not to have drafted a single guy to make the Pro Bowl in the last 6 years. So it is, they are due. Go ahead, Maz.
Oh, it's really unbelievable. Again, like the Patriots and the Bengals, like, oh, just to be mentioned with Cincinnati in anything is bad, let alone that particular area. Like, that's obviously critical to any organization to be in to do well in that area.
So they are either due or they're in deep trouble because Bill's lost his fastball when it comes to the draft. Real quick, before I go back to the phones, how about some of the rumors today? And, you know, pretty unsubstantiated. I heard Beadle and Zoe talking about, I don't even know who the guy is. No one does. But some fella on Twitter talking about Patriots, Lions got a deal in place for number three. The Lions, it has been reported in more legitimate places that the Lions are shopping number three or, you know, open to trading number three. How would you feel if that, you know, that long shot came in for the Patriots?
Well, it would put the lie to Jarrett Stidham, I guess, right? I'm assuming they would do it for a quarterback. Otherwise, why would you go up that high unless they, you know, they deem, like, I don't know, the linebacker at Clemson, Murray, you're better than I am on the names. But the kid at Clemson's a linebacker, is supposed to be a stud, right? So yeah, maybe they have designs on doing something like that. I have to believe it would be for a quarterback. I don't love the idea, frankly. And if it were to happen, I'm not, you know, get number three, you can get elite talent up there, fine. But I think it would be the bag job of all bag jobs because they do not have the firepower to get up there that other teams do.
I mean, and this is obviously fake. There's some guy, creator of the Rush rating, running back enthusiast. Like, he's just some guy on Twitter. It's not no blue check mark, no nothing. He's just throwing crap against
Murray,
the wall.
We have a long established policy here of not dumping on a report just because we don't like it.
Play along, Murray.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not.
Exactly.
It's just some nobody.
So sometimes nobodies are right. Sometimes nobodies hear things. And, I mean, I hope it's not true. And even if it were possible, and I agree, like, it doesn't feel like it is. They just don't have enough ammo to go from 23 to 3. I just don't see that happening. But even if they did, we've been over this a million times. The whole point of having Bill Belichick is that you get to draft someone in the second, third, fourth round and coach him up into a top 10 talent. Otherwise, what's the point of having Bill Belichick? You need to trade up and overextend yourself and, you know, sell assets to move up into the top 10 if you have nothing else and you are desperate for the player. When you have Bill Belichick, you shouldn't be desperate for any player. You should be able to draft a quote-unquote lesser talent and have him coach him up. And if any position on the field is conducive to being coached up, it's the quarterback spot. So I do not want them trading up for a quarterback, no.
Yeah, me neither. I can't imagine that it's true or that it's real, but it really, again, as you pointed out, Mike, and it's a good point, it would really be an indication of how desperate they are if they have to then mortgage whatever it is they're going to have to mortgage to get up there to go get the player they want.
And I hope they're not desperate. All right, back to your calls. As promised, here on Agenda Free Friday, our buddy Paul in Maine. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hey guys, Murray, I wanted to commend you on keeping Felger focused on the essence of the big board. Remember, Michael, the board isn't worried about talent. It's all about the ability to accurately predict the pick. Jeez, come on, man. But guys, I've got a quick agenda-free question for you. Which scenario do you think would garner more attention from the national media? A regular season game between Brady and Belichick or a divisional playoff game between any two other teams?
You know, I don't know, probably that divisional game. I mean, is the country as fixated on Belichick Brady as we are? Isn't the country sick of Brady Belichick? Isn't the country sick of us and sick of all of our storylines? So
I would say yes, but tell me who the teams are.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If it's a couple of crap bag teams, then I would say Brady Belichick's the better hook.
Brady, here's David in New Bedford on Patriots. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I was wondering what you thought the Patriots will do at tight end. Is this a strong draft for tight end, and how do you think they will address the need at tight end?
Okay, so the big board comes at tight end comes next week. The big board will tell us, but I don't know. You tell me, Murray.
No, it's not a strong year for tight ends. You're not going to see any go in the first round, maybe in the second. But, I mean, it's something that they need to address. I wish that they had last year. So they should take one, whoever the hell it could be.
If the Buccaneers are really shopping O.J. Howard, has been reported, how do you feel about that?
Very talented for whatever reason. So the big red flag is that he was, like, off the reservation. And that is really bad, considering that you have one of the most easygoing coaches in the league in Bruce Arians, right? It's win or lose, we booze, and you still can't get that guy corralled? Like, that's the problem.
It's a good point. So may not be a culture fit. He is a Saban guy from Alabama, though, right?
Yes.
No. OJ, I thought he played at, who am I getting confused? I thought he was at Florida.
No, he played at Bama.
Who am I getting him confused?
It doesn't matter. So he is Bama.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw this, I feel like it's got Patriots written all over it. That Tampa wants to unload him. He's a Saban guy. The price might be low because he hasn't fulfilled promise. So I don't know what that means in terms of what you'd give up to get him. But to me, it feels like, you know, the only thing I'm worried about at the position, just because these topics are related, is that Bill thinks Izzo and Lacoste can play, and that Brady was the problem with those two.
I was thinking of David.
Because I still think they need a personnel upgrade there.
So, fascinating. That's just part of the story to follow. If they come back with Izzo and Lacoste, and those guys are actually productive, ooh. That, you know, that there's part of Bill that wants that to be the case, isn't he? I mean,
totally.
Doesn't Bill want N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, and those tight ends to actually be decent next year? And then it's a big, talk about a blanami for Bill. Here's Tom in Westboro with an NHL thought here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Tom.
Felger.
Yo.
Dustin Byfuglien, unrestricted free agent, yes or no?
No. When's the last time he played?
That I don't know.
He's like 2 years ago, right? Didn't he sit out the whole year? So by the time they get back to playing, he'll be almost 2 years off skates. Not the best condition fella, even to begin with on a good day. What's he going to look like after 2 years without playing, Maz?
Yeah, and it's buggling. It's not buffling.
So back in his prime, maybe. I don't know. I mean, is he going to be – I'm not – so he said unrestricted? If he's cheap and sitting there, yeah, you take a flyer, but I'm not pushing any chips into the middle of the table for that
no
guy.
No, thanks.
Tony in Wilmington on the Patriots. Hi, Tony.
Yes, hi. I'm 82 years old, and I only have been watching football for 10 years, so bear with me.
Okay.
But I'm calling about the cap situation with the Pats. What's happening to the money? They never have any money, and they're always restructuring. So I just was curious as to what's going on with them.
So,
they can't get any, good players.
Well, they can if they want to, Tony. They need to reset their payroll. Some people will tell you they have a salary cap problem. I think they just have to reset the money. They have to reset the roster like teams have to, whether there's caps or not, and that's where they're at. But they are tight on money this year, one way or the other. And next year, they should have a lot to spend, and I still don't think they'll spend next year because it's all that stuff is sort of fluid. But is the issue with the roster and building the roster they have no money to spend? I mean, it is partly to a degree. But I think it's overplayed. I think if there were players out there they wanted to spend on, there's ways around it and ways to get that money free to go spend on those players. And I'm still not ruling out that would happen. I'm still not ruling out a Cam Newton or something after the draft. Maybe the draft doesn't go the way they want and there's quarterbacks sitting there or, whoever's sitting there and they do some things and do some juggling and bring in some players that cost some money. That would not shock me one single bit.
Is that the same woman, that last caller, who like swore that one time, or you remember?
No.
Oh, geez. I thought it was her for a minute there. I thought that was going to be the highlight of my day.
We're taking all kinds. No, hopefully it improves from there, Maz. We are going to shoot for running backs. The big board returns. Next segment, we'll shoot for running backs right after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, let's put a couple names on the big board. Today, it being Friday, the last day before next week and the draft really ramps up, I thought I'd put the two most useless positions on the board on this Friday and get them out of the way. And the two most useless positions are, of course, running back. And the other one would be special teams. So we'll do both of those today. And let me just say, Maz, also, they need a kicker for sure. And you know they'll draft for special teams. Do you feel they need to draft a running back?
No. No, 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 no. I mean, between what? Michelle, Harris, White, Burkhead? That's enough. I mean... You know, I suppose you could argue if you want to help out Michelle that they signed the fullback, too. I was going to say you might want to go get a fullback.
Maz, there's no arguing. There's no arguing. Stop.
No, they don't need one.
They drafted a running back in the first round 2 years ago, a running back in the third round last year. What are you doing? What are we running the wishbone?
And they never even used Damian Harris last year, so you're good at that position.
Freaking ridiculous. So let's just get this out of the way. Billy Lanny, Director of Communications. He's going to chuck markers at me. I got my draft magazine up against this boogie board that we got here in the studio. Billy's going to shoot three. We're just going to be consistent. First page, second page, third page. So whatever we land is whatever we land. Billy, go right ahead, please.
Hey, can you help me with where that hit?
Like top left, I thought, right in the middle there.
Second. I see it. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. You know what? I actually like this player. He's a fun guy to watch, but I would never draft him.
Here we go.
Would never draft him. But he's good. He's good. He's going to be good. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin, put him on the board. Okay. Think Le'Veon Bell.
He's good. Like, he's going to be a good player. Hold on. Go ahead, Billy. Next one. What, did that hit anything? Okay, right there. Yeah. Zach Moss, Utah. Okay.
Oh, that's... Wait a minute. Different Moss.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
What the hell was that? Jesus.
Oh, go hey, to the TV.
My God. It's... Nice throw, Billy.
It hit the picture.
It hit the pitcher?
I think so.
So Anthony McFarland, that looks like Maryland. Okay. Billy, want to go big? I want to shoot for this little section of fullbacks here and see if we can just – we'll just put one fullback on the board for bleeps and giggles. As we like to say, they don't have write-ups on them. There's just names. It's a really small little box if you're seeing it right here. It's this thing right here, so the closest to, Billy. Okay, do your best.
Yeah, Felger, the season wasn't the same after they lost Devlin.
What do we got?
They need a fullback, Felger. They need a fullback.
Oh, yeah, you got one, Billy. Excellent.
They need a blocker.
Richie Worship of Purdue. Nope, you know what? I'm going to change that. It's Bo Bishart from Colorado. It was close to that one. Billy, good job. All right.
Are we sure? Are you mocking the board?
I'm not mocking the board. It was right between the two, and so I had to make an executive decision right there on the fly, which I did. Bo Bishart from Colorado is your fullback. There's no write-up, so just put him on the board. As for the actual guys we hit at the running back position, if the Pats didn't have a running back and needed a running back, and they were sitting there in like the third round, and Jonathan Taylor was available, I'd tell you to go take him. I'd tell you to go take him. There's, and I'll just give you the Felger scouting report. He's nasty. He's good, patient runner, like a slasher. Think Le'Veon Bell. He's a poor man's Le'Veon Bell. He can also catch, but just super patient. Like he'll jump cut into the hole, sort of hesitate, and then like he's just got that style. A really nice player to watch. Good runner. The one negative I would give to him is that he crapped his pants when they got to Ohio State. Crapped his pants. Absolutely turtled against the Buckeyes in the biggest game for them in the year. He was good against all the crap. And then they got to Ohio State and he sharted himself.
It's good value in a choker.
Anyway, the write-up says strengths. It's hard not to love Taylor as a runner. He's well-built and shows terrific power, bullying defenders and showing excellent balance through contact to continue his path. He also has light feet, subtle quickness, and the acceleration and long speed to pull away in the open field. His experience shines through in his patience and instincts, and he routinely feels holes open up and hits them at the proper time. He handled a massive workload over three seasons without any significant injuries or declines in effectiveness. Okay, those are his strengths.
Yeah, it's not going to work here because they don't open holes.
Weaknesses. Like many other Wisconsin backs, he benefited from a great offensive line, breaking off several big runs by waltzing through huge holes. He's not very quick laterally. Despite his dedication to improving as a receiver, Taylor's route running needs polishing, especially as he expands his route tree. Anyway, put him on the board. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin. Zach Moss.
Bill likes those guys that run straight ahead, though.
Yeah.
And didn't James, wasn't James White a Wisconsin guy?
Sure was.
He was.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Okay, go ahead.
No, Jonathan Taylor's a good player. Zach Moss, Utah, strengths. He's 5'9", 222, Mass. Another, we have like the, we have.
Tiny little guys on the big board.
This is like the 6'4 and under league.
Would you say 5'9", what?
5'9", 222.
That guy is Sosie's little brother.
They just, this guy's a fire hydrant, literally. He's projected to go in the second or third round. Compactly built, I'll say, with quick feet, Moss boasts an ideal frame, agility, and balance. You know what? I do like these little guys, though.
The Maurice Jones-Drew types?
Yeah, and who's the one I really love? Sproles.
Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles. Love that player. Danny Woodhead. Like, I think those guys have value, the little dudes that you just can't see. Like, they can hide in the trees. Anyway, this is one of those. He had some human joystick to him.
Oh, boy. This guy's going to be fat when he's older, man. He's going to be huge, but go ahead.
Zach Moss, again, a human joystick, darting laterally, forward and backward to elude defenders in tight spaces, but is not reliant on making the miss, showing good lean.
He runs downhill.
Okay.
Maybe they mean the cough syrup.
Sure, good lean. Leg drive and toughness to shed tackles. Good stop-start quickness, utilizing hesitation moves, a solid stiff arm, and good vision to set up blocks to consistently and creatively generate yards after contact.
Did you say Utah State?
Correct.
So he plays with Jordan Love then.
So I'm sorry, Utah, not Utah, Utah State.
Oh, all right, okay. All right.
Weaknesses, while tough to bring down, Moss is not the bulldozer his frame suggests. Winning more often with his athleticism than power, he varies his speed nicely, playing fast, but may lack the stopwatch speed to wow in workouts.
Hmm.
That's fine. The Pats don't value stopwatch speed. I like the sound of that player, too. I just, if they're going to draft a running back, man, please give me a freaking break.
Oh, God, please. Seventh round
or,
at best.
Or if you draft him, use him, please.
Anthony McFarlane, 5'9", 198. They're just, this is all, we do is have little fellas. Strengths, a jitterbug back with breakaway speed. McFarlane is a big play waiting to happen. He is cat quick, darting in and out to elude defenders in tight quarters and accelerating in a flash to ruin pursuit angles. He ruins pursuit angles, Maz.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's critical. I mean, if you can disrupt that, usually you get bigger holes and openings.
Weaknesses, significantly undersized and is coming off a disappointing injury-derailed season and yet still opted to give up his final 2 years of eligibility. Used as a feature back at times but had more than 14 rushing attempts in just 4 of his 23 college games. He shows soft hands, I think that's a good thing, but has a limited catch radius, no wonder he's 5'9", and wasn't featured as a receiver. Too easily swatted away in pass protection.
He's got T-Rex arms.
Sounds like Danny Woodhead, for crying out loud, except not as good.
A minute on McCaffrey and that stupid contract the Panthers just signed him to. And I say stupid. They have to do it. It was a stupid draft pick. And I understand Christian McCaffrey is as much a receiver as a running back, and he features in the backfield or in different spots in the formation, I should say, where you can throw him the ball, so that makes him a little better as a bet there for a contract. But when are teams going to learn? When are teams going to learn? You can't draft a running back up there. McCaffrey, I think, was 8 overall. Saquon Barkley is going to be another one at 2 overall. Zeke Elliott at whatever he was, 4 overall, 6 overall is another one. The problem is when you draft a guy at that position and he delivers, you then have to sign him to the next contract. And how many times do you have to see it? The next contract for the running back in this day and age is death. And that, I am sorry, is fact, not opinion. You give me the list of second contracts, big contracts that have really, really worked out for the franchise running back. I'm sorry. It is a tiny, tiny list compared to the guys that have blown up. And I'll just, from Todd Gurley to Le'Veon Bell now with the Jets, just look at the second big running back contract. It's death. It's going to be death for Carolina. It's going to be death for Dallas. It's going to be death if Tennessee gets stupid and gives Henry that contract. It's going to be death for the Giants. But what are you going to do when you draft a guy in the top 5, top 10, and he delivers? He's now your franchise player. Christian McCaffrey is the Panthers' franchise player. They are backed into giving him that second contract. So there you go. There's the money. He's going to get blown up. He's going to get hurt. He's going to become ineffective. Defenses are going to focus on him, and he's going to go bye-bye, just like Gurley went bye-bye, just like Leonard Fournette's going to go bye-bye, like they all go bye-bye. And Derrick Henry's going to go bye-bye, and I'm not telling you they aren't effective players. Of course they were effective players. Of course Zeke Elliott's effective. Of course McCaffrey's effective. Of course Derrick Henry was a huge part of Tennessee's success. But as soon as you give him the money in that contract, forget about it. So Christian McCaffrey's only the latest example. Do you want to weigh in?
Yes, I'll just quickly. Go ahead, Mario. You go first, because I, if I'm Carolina, I'm worried about him. But I'll tell you why in a minute.
Well, and I've come around in that the Rams broke the market with Gurley. It was a dumb contract, but I find this one kind of smart because you mentioned McCaffrey's. I think he's more wide receiver than he is running back. You know, he had the second most receptions in the league last year,
116.
So even if he turns into garbage taking handoffs, I still think his value is enormous, and because of how unique he is in that offense, I don't think you can pigeonhole him into that positional value chart. And I'm with you. Like, after that Gurley one, it broke the market. It was too much money. He had bad knees. That was dumb. And no one should be paying running backs that kind of money, but they've kind of screwed themselves with where they've drafted him. McCaffrey's a different case.
So I'll tell you why I would worry about McCaffrey on the Panthers, and I'll make it fast. He's not that big. He had 403 touches last year, number one in the league. Now, a lot of those were on receptions, so it's not like he's running in the middle of the line 400 times. But even so, 400 touches for a guy that size, in 2 years, he's going to be done.
Nice player. Can't argue the production and what he brings to that offense, which was one of the worst in the league still. You just can't pay those guys. It's death, and Carolina will be the most latest team to find that out. Okay, so there's the big board. We'll do kickers much later on in the show. Coming up next, your calls here on an agenda-free Friday and the Patriots quarterback situation. Big trade rumors have started to percolate across the league. Is it possible the Patriots could be in? Ian Rappaport weighs in, and your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. MA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are the Patriots in the quarterback conversation for the draft? And if so, how? I mean, walk me through your reporting on what New England's quarterback room is going to look like this fall and how it might be affected over what happens next weekend.
Yeah, I would say the Patriots are very firmly in the quarterback mix. They are just... they're so far back, you know, so I'm having trouble figuring out, like, what are they actually going to do? Because, you know, they're up in the 20s. I mean, you know, Jordan Love sliding into the teens and them grabbing him is a scenario that I've thought a lot about. They also had some success with Jimmy Garoppolo in the second rounds, so maybe they try to repeat that. They don't have a second rounder. So they either could trade back and create one, maybe, or they could use some third and fourths and trade up in the first round. The Patriots are going to take a quarterback probably with a premium pick. I would just imagine it's not at the pick they currently have. So I don't think that they're going into the draft saying, all right, we got Stidham, we are good, like the Chiefs did with Mahomes. Like, it's not like that. I think it's, we're going to add to the quarterback room. We'll put them together in, you know, God willing, July and August, and see what happens. I mean, my guess right now is Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback of the Patriots in 2020, but I think that is something that will be ever evolving as we get through next season.
Ian Rappaport this week with Rich Eisen here on Agenda Free Friday. Patriots will use a premium pick at a quarterback next week. And Brian Hoyer starts off the season as the starting quarterback in 2020. How do you feel about that, Maz?
Okay, so you know how you know Ian Rappaport was once a writer?
How?
That he uses the term premium pick. You tell me, what's a premium pick?
Top three rounds.
Okay, so I would say three or four. But anyway, that's the whole point, is you give yourself a nice gray term so that later on you can tell everybody you were right, and which I give him credit for. I don't criticize him for it. So if a premium pick is in the first round, I don't like it. I think that reflects poorly on Stidham. I think they do like Stidham. I don't know if they love Stidham, but I think they think Stidham has a chance. And so if I were them and they take a quarterback late in the third and they have three compensatory picks there, or they use one in the fourth, to me, the third especially qualifies as premium. I'd even give them the benefit of the fourth on that one. But, I you know, other than that, I don't want them reaching for a quarterback. I don't.
Fourth is not premium, Mass. I'm sorry. Okay. I mean, you can play with the language and, you know, give yourself wriggle room. If they spend a fourth round pick on a quarterback, that's not premium. You know, maybe even out of the second round isn't premium. Murray, you have a thought there?
Yeah, I would hate it. It would reek of them not having a plan, which is what I felt if they were going to take any quarterback in the first round, whether that's trying to move up or staying at 23 and using that pick for him. And you're going to start Hoyer. That's no plan. Like, you're just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping something sticks.
Okay, your thoughts, people. They trade up for a quarterback. How do you feel about that? They use a premium draft pick on a quarterback. How would you feel? Mike in Dartmouth. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, on that note, if they take a QB in the first three rounds, I would hate it too, like Murray said. I think this team is deprived of young talent. So if we do a stay at 23, what position or player would you guys like to see them take?
So I want playmaking on defense. Is I know that's not a position for you, but that's a type. So, you know, if you put a gun to my head, edge player, you know, defensive end, outside linebacker with speed and size and playmaking ability. That would be my number one choice. But if you're telling me you can do that from the middle linebacker position, fine. You want to tell me you can do that as a safety, a closer to the line of scrimmage, impact, ball hawking safety. I'll take it. But that would be my number one need. Maz?
O-line. I want O-line. I'm just not sold on the group they have. I'm worried about Andrews. You tell me Andrews is 100% healthy, then I would say let O-line slide until the third round. But given everything that's going on, I don't think they know that. I also think that it would open up the possibility of them being able to move Tooney if they needed to, so that they could clear a little cap space, and or Shaq Mason, for that matter. I mean, one of those two, because I think they're way overpriced at guard. The line did not play well last year. They don't have Skarnecki anymore. I want some talent on that offensive line.
Murray.
Linebacker for me. I've said that from the get-go. Either Kenneth Murray, Patrick Queen out of LSU, either of those two guys will be there around 23. And I can also be talked into that Epinesa guy that I think we hit on the big board, and right, a lot of people locally have them taking him at 23, the defensive end.
So does that fit my profile, Murray? Is he a playmaker?
The kid out of Iowa? Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so something like that. Matt in Framingham on my running back take. Go ahead, Matt.
Michael, I don't often agree with you on football things, but you're so damn right on the running back.
Thank you.
It's not even debatable. Apparently, the GM out in Carolina did not get the memo on Todd Gurley out there in Los Angeles, who's now with Atlanta. And all you need to know about how disposable running backs is, and unfortunately, Michael, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, Raheem Mostert,
thank you,
of the San Francisco 49ers, who went undrafted in the 2015 draft.
Oh, don't stop there, Matt. Don't stop there. See, people confuse my commentary with saying that running games don't matter. I feel like running games have made a resurgence in the league. Like, and I think, you know, San Francisco's a great example of it. And there's a couple, you know, Tennessee's a great example of it. So I think the running game itself has become more vital. But if you put your chips into the basket of the running back in terms of money, oh, you're stupid. You're stupid. And just look at the Super Bowl. Who are the best two runners for San Francisco? Who led them in the running game to that game? Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert, both of whom are undrafted. Both of whom. The Niners a couple years ago went out and spent all this money on Jerick McKinnon coming out of Minnesota, and it turns out all the guys that led them in the running game were all undrafted roster fodder, as usual. But don't stop there. Kansas City, they lose Kareem Hunt because he's a knucklehead. It's like, oh, well, how are they ever going to piece that together? Then I think they went to Spencer Ware. Production didn't go down. And then the kid that actually, was it Damian Williams? Is that his name?
Yep.
I think he's another undrafted street guy. I think he's another, if he's not undrafted, he was a street free agent, roster fodder, nobody. He was in Miami before Kansas City. Nothing, guys. There is no other position, no other position that equates to the running back in terms of disposable pieces. None. There's no example of it. There are 4 million examples of a premium starting quality star running back going down and the backup doing just as well. And you can't duplicate that at any other position on the field.
I mean, I don't know what better example you need than Kansas City. They had Kareem Hunt and they cut him. Everybody was talking about how great Kareem Hunt was, and he gave the Patriots fits. They cut him. They released him after that whole domestic incident in that hotel and where he kicked the woman. And they won the Super Bowl without him, and they probably should have won too.
And I think Williams was really their third guy. I think, if memory serves, they went to Spencer Ware first, then he got hurt. And then the Williams, it just doesn't matter. Disposable razors. Toss one out, you put the next one in. It's about your offensive line. It's about your scheme. It's about, do you have in most cases, a good enough passing game to keep defenses honest? Now, I think Tennessee sort of broke that mold this year. Henry was great, and that running game was great. I wouldn't pay the guy. It'd be insane to pay running backs in this day and age, which means you have to be insane to draft them high. Because if you draft them high and then they play well, you're compelled to re-sign them.
Fuses in a fuse box.
Thank
you. That's what they are. Fuses in a fuse box. They are. In fact, there are a lot of positions like that, but that one's at the top of the list.
Murray?
Well, I just, again, McCaffrey's a unique case. 116 receptions. He's second only to Michael Thomas. So I think he's almost more wide receiver than he is running back. So I'm not going to, he's just a unique case. I'm not going to pigeonhole him as just running back. But overall, I'm with you. Ever since that Gurley contract, the Gurley contract was dumb. And you can't compare him to Gurley because Gurley came into the league with knee issues. McCaffrey's been healthy.
So, I mean, I'll just say it again. You know, the running back, if you think the running back, if you're the running back guy, you're a fantasy player or a college football fan or just a little kid. Just a kid that doesn't get it. That's it. That's it. Those are the only people that like running backs who think that they matter or would pay them. Fantasy players and college football fans, because that position matters in those two things. It doesn't matter in the NFL. It really doesn't. Which is separate from saying the running games don't matter. The running games do. Okay, so we can weigh in on that. The Patriots here heading into the last couple days before the draft, featured in some rumors. And we do want to get back to the return of sports because there has been developments in the last 24 hours. We'll give you those right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.